I think they like you, Steve.
Guess what day it is.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Place to go.
612. Hi, good morning.
Have no place to go.
Show number 1127.
Have no place to go.
Hey, here's an idea. Follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show.
Goodbye, baby.
Or on Facebook. I'll never like snoop on your data. Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show. Texters and phone calls at 312-981-7200. We'll get to the top six at six directly here. Jordan Goodman's going to talk a little money after 7. The delightful Marianne Ahern will join me after 7:30. Dean Richards later on as well. And amazing woman. Are we having both of these ladies in? One of them, yeah. We were originally going to have two, but we're going to have, two? We're going to miss this studio, you know. Sandberg's 30 feet away. I can't see her.
Use your thumb. The thumb's up and the thumb's down.
Got this reflective glass at this hour, and then the sun comes up. We got big problems here. I know you can identify as you listen. But at 6:13, why don't we do it right now? Let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Asking you shall receive. Thank you to United Services of Griffin, Indiana. They have started the Pen Club again, the Steve Cochran Pen Club, complaining about the fact that all the other shows steal pens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we received these pens already this morning. 1-800-BOARD-UP Emergency Services, serving Northwest Indiana and Illinois southern suburbs. Thank you for the pens.
Yeah, these are great.
It's a good start.
It's a good start, yeah. By the way, for those of you scrambling to find your logoed pens to send in for free plugs, please do so at Steve Cochran Show, WGN Radio, 435 North Michigan Avenue, 7th floor. Just send it to Steve Cochran here. We'll find it. At the Tribune Tower in Chicago, 60611.
They'll find you somewhere in the building.
Yeah, wandering. Item number one, Barbara Bush died yesterday, the wife of the 41st president of the United States, mother of the 43rd. Can you tell me, anyone, control the board, who is the only other woman in American history to have a husband and a son as president?
I know.
You're asking us?
I heard this last night.
Abigail Adams.
Abigail.
Yeah. Abigail Adams.
I knew it was an Adams.
And the difference between Barbara Bush and Abigail Adams is Abigail Adams never had the guts to tell her son the beard was dopey.
Mm. John Quincy.
Yeah, the beard was not good. Not good. Not good. Barbara Bush told her kids anything she wanted. There's a great clip that's floating around. We'll play some stuff from Barbara Bush later, but I'd forgotten about this. She spoke at commencement to Wellesley College. And she ended it by saying, out there in this crowd somewhere, maybe someone is going to follow in my footsteps as the spouse of the President of the United States. And I just want to wish him well.
Oh, isn't that fantastic?
That's a good line.
That's good.
Yeah, very good line.
I enjoyed her clips yesterday, too. I know we'll probably play this one as well. She said, you know, in the very end, no one's going to look at whether, basically, take a day off and enjoy your family. You know,
yeah,
no one's
she said
say,
nobody's going to care if you won another case. Passed another test.
Right. Verdict.
Made another sale.
Yeah, it was a great quote.
But you're going to, at the end of your life, wish you'd spent more time with the family and the people you're closest to. Good advice. Unfortunately, you have to get old to understand it.
Yeah.
Which means everybody but Super Joe and Sandberg on the show understands it. Yes, Steve, you've reached that as well. Next. Oh, that's a horrible story. Just a complete freak accident on a Southwest Airlines plane flying yesterday. I had to make an emergency landing in Philadelphia after a fan blade sheared off, blew apart the covering the engine. The shrapnel from that broke a window in the plane. A woman sitting next to the window was partially sucked out of the plane. pulled back in by passengers, but apparently mortally wounded in the initial impact, at least we hope. And was DOA at the hospital in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, they're trying to figure out why this happened and how many other planes are out there that could have similar metal fatigue. An amazing job by Tammy Jo Schultz, the veteran former Navy combat pilot, who very calmly told the tower that part of the plane's missing. And we're going to need to land.
First female fighter, one of the first female fighter pilots in the Navy.
There's a Sully Sullenberger movie in the making here.
It's just amazing. 140 plus people on the plane. Just a horrible story, though. And this woman had died, very, very prominent citizen of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and volunteer. They have this huge balloon fest there, and she was the spokesperson for the balloon
fest.
I've
been to that. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful town, actually.
She was an executive at Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah, two little kids. So, very sad story. But again, you think about Barbara Bush's advice, and then you juxtapose it against what happened to this 41 or 42 year old woman. It tells you how precious life is.
Oh, God.
Every minute matters. So God bless her. God bless her family. Next, Tony Preckwinkle should be Cook County Democratic chairman as of today, and I believe it's tomorrow that they will vote in Springfield on whether or not to retain Mike Madigan as speaker. You still have time to let your elected reps know, especially on the Democrat side, obviously, since they'll be the ones voting, that you're done with Madigan.
Right.
That 75 years in power is enough, and that true change in the state can only come from term limits, official and artificial. And in this case, term limits instituted by the people in power. Mr. Madigan needs to go. And honestly, there you go. He's not coming on the show today.
No.
He needs to go, but he's not coming on the show. If there's not another Democrat in this state that's qualified to be the speaker, well, that's your fault then.
Right.
It's the fault of the Democratic Party. But send a message. Send a message. Tell Mr. Madigan, hey, thanks for the service. Sit back in your big cushiony chair now and watch someone else do it.
Yeah.
Next. The IRS says you get another day. Steve, I don't know if you talked about this morning in the opening bell, but apparently the IRS computers crashed.
Yesterday, this is part of the system that you could pay on their site, and you could set up payment plans if you want. It was down for the better part of yesterday. It didn't come back until about 4 o'clock our time yesterday.
So they said you get an extra day.
Yeah, everybody gets.
Still
got to
pay, but you get an extra day. And quack me.
They said it was funny, not funny, but they said, "Well, we have to do a hard reboot of our system."
Oh, that's funny.
You think
with the IRS, can't you picture with all the money problems and staff problems the IRS is having? And you know, for anybody listening that's an IRS employee, good for you. I can't imagine the workload you have, but don't you picture them running like Windows 75?
Oh yeah. Completely. Microsoft
powered hand crank computers.
One of the Tandy Radio Shack computers.
Yeah.
A bunch of guys with adding machines with those visors on just clicking through.
Remember the little Texas Instrument calculators?
Yeah. TI. Starbucks is going to close 8,000 U.S. stores for an afternoon next month to conduct anti-bias training after the incident in Philadelphia where two black men were arrested for loitering at a table waiting for their friend. The CEO spoke out about it and said it was a horrible mistake. The manager of that particular Starbucks no longer works for the company, and 8,000 stores will close for a half day. This is bad news for Mickey Cochran, my brother.
Oh, I think it's bad news for everyone who goes to Starbucks.
He makes 3 trips to Starbucks a day.
Right.
And his afternoon trip, he's not going to be happy about this.
Not.
Okay, here's a marketing idea for the competitors.
Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's, that afternoon,
free coffee.
Free coffee.
That's a good call.
Then no charge.
Good call.
May 29th. May 29th is that day, so
no arrest either. Don't arrest anybody that comes in your store.
Yeah, just let any hooligans come in.
Right, yeah. Good loiter.
And then this, snowing again.
Oh, God.
You can't make it up. It's April 18th. It is April 18th. The high temperature this time of year should be 60 degrees. And this afternoon into tonight, overnight into tomorrow, we could get 2 inches or more of snow, depending on where you're listening.
It's been Chicago's second coldest April since 1881.
I don't get it.
Do we know if the ski hills in Wisconsin are still open?
They should be.
Like Wilmot?
Yeah, they should be.
Grand Geneva?
I want to know why Mother Nature hates us.
Yeah.
What did we do? You think it has something to do with the Bears? You know, the Bears have had a rough couple of years. Maybe it's the Bears.
Bears practiced indoors yesterday.
Oh, that shows how tough they are. Well,
the Cubs are outside and they're...
Yeah, exactly. Fred in Montgomery is the winner of the Mike Madigan contest. Heard the crickets, knew Mike Madigan wouldn't be on the show again today, and is winner of an app gift card.
You're not even a little confident that we're only 25 minutes into the show?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not a chance.
Okay.
Better chance my hair is going to be regrown. Thanks again for everybody listening to the Top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
She is Mary Vanderbilt. She will update traffic and sometimes weather. She is Mary Vanderbilt. And then sometimes she will do them both together.
Occasionally check in with Mary Vanderbilt because of her mysterious husband, Steve, known to hang out in the garage and fight critters.
Skunks, yeah.
And apparently yesterday had a standoff with whom?
The paper man. The paper person. The Tribune person.
Well, what happened?
Well, we get one paper delivery a week. A Sunday paper. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, occasionally this guy doesn't give us a paper. Whoever it is. So my husband gets a little upset because, you know, it's once a week. So
can't be that hard. Once a week. Drop it off.
Exactly. I mean, come on. So he calls the Tribune, you know, and says we didn't get our paper again. And apparently this guy must have got, I don't know, in trouble or what. But so yesterday I come home. There's like six papers all over the lawn. Just the guy just whipped them all over our lawn.
So like, he gave you the Tuesday paper as a penalty for not dropping off the Sunday paper?
Uh-huh, apparently. So, and we don't get the paper all week. So my husband's like, I go, Steve, are you going to pick up the papers that are like laying all over the lawn? And why are they laying all over the lawn? No, don't touch them. You know, I got to take a picture. And I'm sending it to the supervisor. And so he's in like this standoff with
I'm a little scared. I salute Steve. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I'm a little nervous.
You got a rogue paper guy whipping papers at your house.
So meanwhile, you know, everybody's walking by our house going, gee, why don't they pick up the papers? What about just slobs? So people start taking the papers. Some lady walked by with a dog. She took a paper.
So your front lawn is now a paper box.
Yes, yeah, still. And they never came back. The supervisor said, leave them there. I'll send somebody out. They'll pick them up. Why? I don't know.
There you go. Yeah, that's not the point. Easily. The point is, don't have your knucklehead paper guy throw papers at
us. Yeah, so anyway, I'm worried. I'm worried for the guy's job. I'm worried that
the guy should lose his job.
Stuck in the house. I don't know what's going on.
No, he should lose his job because you can't listen, Dave, you and I go back a long way.
Right. Dave was a paper boy.
You can't. I believe the paper boy code is, you tell me, you were the paper boy, mm-hmm. You can't throw papers at people.
That is correct. As speaking from personal experience, first of all, I was paying for those papers, so I'm not going to throw extra, and then I have to go around and collect from the person I deliver the paper to. So I'm not going to go around
you
and
pay for those papers.
Oh, right. So this guy has to pay.
I don't know if the Tribune does it that way. Maybe the business.
No, I mean
model.
This is a few years ago, just a few years ago.
So how are you paid then?
I used to have to go door to door and collect every month. I went to the
So you would pay less for the paper than you were charging the subscribers. That
yeah,
would
correct,
be where your money
correct. And I got to keep the extra 10 cents or whatever it was.
That's how my paper worked. I delivered the New Sun, Chicago New Sun. It was some suburban paper. Except for...
I don't picture you even getting out of the car. I picture you rolling down your window in Dick's car and going, you people, come out here. Your paper's here.
Well,
yeah, they're in the back.
You're right about Dick's car, but really my parents did the route because I had cheerleading and then I had volleyball and then I had basketball. So it didn't really work with any of my seasons. And then I did sleepovers on Friday
night.
Well,
nights. Then why is this even considered
so
a job?
So on Saturday mornings, my parents had to deliver this paper and then my dad had to do the collections where you go and you had a little book. And
oh my God!
You had a whole punch.
See, so my parents would go.
Yeah, it's.
And sometimes
it's Dick,
I would.
Where's my money?
I know. I would collect like $30. That $30 would be my pay, and my parents let me keep the pay. So
I had other things to do too.
Yeah.
But I managed to deliver
the
papers.
Wait,
they
myself. Did your route, and you got the money?
They did give me the money. It wasn't a
oh
lot
my
of money.
God.
But and my mom, she said she liked. But they had a drive. But it was a weird route.
And what did you learn from this experience?
I learned to not take on more than I can handle,
or take anything out at all.
I think what you learned is not to take on more than your parents can handle.
And the funny thing is, my friend Amy Goodman ended up taking the route over from me when my parents were tired of doing it. And then, like, I'd spend the night at her house on Friday, and her parents made her get up and do the route.
What?
And I was like, you guys are so mean.
It's child abuse.
Dick and Deb do the route for me.
Did they sell your Girl Scout cookies, too? Door to door?
Well, that's an American tradition.
Yeah.
Having my parents. My mom was a cookie mom once, and it was a nightmare.
What was the name of the girl that took over your route?
Amy Goodman.
Dave, isn't that the girl that took over your route as well?
No, that is. No, believe me. I did my route.
Dave did his route.
Proudly with my... the sack they gave you with the orange shoulder strap.
Oh, you actually walked and carried the paper.
Yeah. Well, I would deliver them on my bike. I would put the bag in the basket on my bike.
See, I didn't have a basket. And the bag, the strap is too long. It's not really practical to drive around with these papers on your bike. And
especially if you have cheerleading.
We weren't allowed to throw them either. And each individual person had a specific thing they went down with the paper, which is a little bit high maintenance.
Well, as you know, we leave early to come to work, and this is no more than a year ago. I pulled out and I realized I hadn't gotten the mail from the day before. I got out of the car, I went to the mailbox, and I don't get the paper delivered to the house, and a paper guy came by, and I don't know why, he thought my lawn was the lawn next door. He whipped the paper, it hit me in the back.
Oh my god. Ka-ching.
Yeah,
I thought about that,
and I turned around and went, hey, and then he stopped and apologized.
I broke a storm door once.
Nice arm.
Throwing
it? Yeah.
Because did you roll your papers?
That's I rolled them up, rubber band, and I chucked
when
it.
Yeah, when they drop them off, they're flat, and you have to roll them, and if it's raining, you have to put them in the
plastic
sleeve.
Again, Dick had to roll them.
I know. Right. Dick and Deb.
Yes.
Oh, my God. My mother would be like, get up and... Well, I didn't have a paper out, but get up and get
my father didn't even know I lived at the house.
It was quite a nice service they provided.
God, I was abused. I had to do my work.
6:33.
Anyway, so you guys think my husband's okay?
No, I think...
Back to the point...
Well, let me tell you, here's the story. I think your husband's fine, and I think you're going to be fine, and I think that guy's looking for a new job today.
Probably.
Hey, there's 20 papers in the studio. Take one home.
Yes. No, this was a Sunday paper that, you know, I'm not here.
Well, we do have extras down here if you want to take them home.
I took one on Monday.
Hey, what about this? What about you get the whole family out on the front lawn and you throw papers at the car when it goes by?
Mayor, do you guys send when the Sunday paper guy gives you the Christmas card to send him his tip? Do you guys send one?
Nope.
That's your problem.
Come on, no, he comes once a week. Does he need a tip?
Well, he's, yes.
Yeah, you got to tip your dad in your mail.
But that's not the reason to whip papers into your lawn.
He still should be doing his job.
He still should get a tip, too.
Doesn't need a tip for once a week.
I wouldn't serve your house either.
I think we've gotten to the root of the problem. Dick shouldn't deliver the papers.
Mary shouldn't subscribe.
Mary should tip. Yes. All right, we get a break, and then headlines next, 720 WGN.
Target stores in Florida and Texas have started offering drive-up service. The retail chain says customers can buy items without leaving their cars. Service began last fall in Minneapolis, where the company's headquartered. Target says it hopes to expand the service to nearly 1,000 stores by the end of the year.
I don't understand how that works. A drive-through for Target?
It's a drive-up service. So I think
I order something, I pull up, and then you have to bring it out to
me?
And
it's right there. You know, Mariano's has started doing this, where they have parking spaces where you pull up and somebody brings out the groceries that you've ordered. And I think this service is similar to that.
All right, now who would this be for? This would be for parents with little kids in cars. Well, don't take the punchline.
Right.
Parents, parents with kids in cars, older folks, and go ahead, Steve, now.
People who are too lazy to get out of their cars.
That's right. Steve will be at Zanies on Friday.
But the other part of this, too, is, you know, parking. You know, I don't know where your Target is, but sometimes parking is kind of difficult.
Well, let me get a tiny violin.
All right. That is your money.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We can take this up with Marianne Ahern, but the majority of the cars owned by the people on this show all got new resume credits yesterday. My car actually hired an agent.
Steve Mandel.
Dave, you notice this? Well, this is on Channel 5.
Yes, they were doing a stand-up talking about the plans for Tribune Tower, and they were focusing on the parking lot.
So they're shooting at the overpass behind us?
They were shooting from up above, yes, down at the parking lot.
Right.
Your car, Sandberg's car, Super Joe's car, and my car.
So the White Lightning. The White Lightning's in
the picture.
White
Lightning was right there.
Why were you watching Channel 5?
Well, I was flipping around.
And the first thing I did was expand the picture to see if they blurred the license plates, and they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it didn't say Wit Lightning.
Yeah. What's funny is I'm trying to block my license plate. I'm going, we talk about the car every day.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. I don't nice think it's program, a secret. Steve.
I'm glad they didn't get my car in there because my car is dirty.
Well, you couldn't tell really the level of filth from there, but Andrea's car is such a bright color. It showed, wasn't even in frame.
Thank right? God.
And it was
good.
Blasting in from the side.
Identifiable.
At 6:47, we'll get to preview what's coming up here in just a second, but I did want to mention this. The CIA director and the designee for the Secretary of State's position, Mike Pompeo, had a little sit-down Easter weekend with Kim Jong-un. This does two things. This is obviously front work for whatever meeting Trump and Kim Jong-un may or may not have, but also it makes his confirmation hearing a little less troublesome because he can go, I already met with right. Kim Jong-un. I think I'm ready for the job.
When I first heard that story, I went, wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait, that Kim Jong-un. Okay.
And apparently at the palace in Pyongyang.
Uh-huh.
So
over Easter, they broke bread and had lamb or ham.
Easter week. Yeah, I don't know. Easter weekend. Now, they're trying to figure out where Trump and Kim Jong-un would meet. I'll tell you where they meet. They meet in Washington.
Yeah.
Here's why. You don't have to give a meeting to this knucklehead. You agreed to a meeting with this knucklehead. So why are we flying to Seoul?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we going to the DMZ? I know he doesn't have a plane that can fly him to the United States. Yeah, you let him get a ticket. You know, Virgin Air. Somebody right. over there must fly.
Spirit.
Frontier right. with 97 changes.
You know, and that's a good idea. They could go to a bar in Washington. They don't even have to go to the White House. They could just do, you know,
a beer summit.
A bar, another beer summit. Yeah.
Yeah. But he needs to come here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trump doesn't like to fly anyway. Look at me having Trump's back.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Karen Conti. On the radio Sunday nights at what time, Karen Conti?
Sunday nights from 7 till 9.
I want to focus on this whole client privilege thing, this alleged attorney Michael Cohen, and what this all means to the rest of us. So let's start with the obvious. The big story in the past couple of days has been Sean Hannity. Why did Sean Hannity's name have to be revealed in public in that courtroom? Does it relate to the potential charges against Cohen? I don't quite understand.
Well, the judge was trying to determine what documents that were seized from Cohen's office are attorney-client privilege, meaning that they were communications between an attorney and a client. And so the judge said, you have to tell me who the clients are so I know who I am protecting. And Cohen's lawyer hesitated and said, I really don't want to do that. That's kind of confidential in and of itself. The judge said, if you don't say the names of the clients, then I can't protect you. And there's some case law that really supports what the judge did there, saying you can't assert that privilege unless you tell me who it is. So he said Sean Hannity. And so what's interesting about this, Steve, is here you've got a lawyer, Cohen, who the two clients who we know he represents, Trump and this other guy, Broidy, were clients where he supposedly was a fixer, basically. He was paying women off with who had affairs with them. So the fact that Sean Hannity was named, there's some idea, it could be that it's completely false, that he's one of those clients as well.
Well, it certainly leads to that assumption.
Yes, and of course, it could be completely false. It could be that Sean Hannity spoke with him about real estate matters and business matters and who knows what else. But it really taints him in a way that is kind of unfair, actually.
It's Hannity.
I was trying to be fair, Steve.
Yeah, I understand. If I have a casual conversation with you, as I have for, 20 plus years about this or that, are those conversations privileged?
That's a really good question. And the question is, it's a kind of a sliding scale. There's no hard and fast rule. You come up to me at a cocktail party and say, hey, Karen, I'm thinking about suing Andrea Darlis for defamation. What
totally.
Do you think about that? You know? And so I start chatting and I say, well, you could do this, you could do that. It's really a hard lawsuit. I would say it's probably not worth it. Was there an attorney-client privilege? Did you have some idea that we had a confidence between us? Well, there was no money paid to me, as usual. There was no contract between us. And it was at a cocktail party, and we really just chatted. So maybe no attorney-client privilege. On the other hand, if you said, can I meet with you at the office? Can I talk to you more about this? And maybe I'm giving you specific pieces of advice about how to go about doing something, then maybe we cross the line into that attorney-client realm, and that's sacred. Then those conversations are completely protected.
So it's a fine line, Karen, but the words have to be said, okay, this is business that's transpiring, or here we go.
Well, you know what it feels like? I mean, when you talk to somebody and you go, this conversation's off the record. There's an understanding in journalism of off the record that you're not going to say who the source is.
Absolutely.
Stories have been processed that way forever, ever.
Right, and it doesn't make them fake.
Yeah, so is off the record similar to a privileged conversation between a client and an attorney?
I think when a client says that, is this off the record? Are we in a safe mode? I would definitely assume that the attorney-client privilege attaches, and I would never disclose anything that was said voluntarily. I mean, I get calls all the time where people chat with me about some legal issue, and, you know, for the most part, I consider that attorney-client privilege. I'm not going to go talk to people about that. I think, that this privilege sounds... It is one of the most important privileges and important concepts in the legal system because you want clients to tell their lawyers everything. And you don't want your lawyers, even I wouldn't even want to be disclosing the names of my clients because people can make assumptions that are false. If I say I represent X, Y, and Z, people are going to think, whoa, was it a DUI? You know, what did the person do? A lawyer is a serious thing. So I think all of these things are sacred, and the fact that this we're even talking about this and that there was even a raid on a lawyer's house and office is just astounding, really. I mean, it happens, but I think it really crosses the line here, and I think we're in kind of uncharted territories.
Are there obvious exceptions to that, Karen?
Yes, okay. There are. Let's just say that, Steve, you're talking to me at that cocktail party, and let's just say Dave Ennett comes and he's chatting and the conversation continues with Dave present. Completely blows the privilege. Whenever there is a third party there, that takes it out of the privilege completely. The second exception is if Steve is saying, hey, you know what? I would like to go commit a crime. I really think we should go steal some things from the executive offices of the Tribune. Well, that is a commission of a crime that is completely unprotected, and I would be forced to disclose what Steve said to me in that regard. And then Steve can always waive the privilege. So if he wants to go on the air and talk about what he said to Karen Conti in a cocktail party, that is his to disclose. So those are three exceptions to the rule.
Right. So the privilege is with the client, not the attorney. If the client wants to give it up, it's fine, but you can't give it up because you could lose your license.
That's exactly true.
Okay. Is a fixer a thing? I mean, do you know people in the business that are fixers?
I actually don't. You know, I live a pretty boring life, I guess. But, that's something that's more Hollywood stuff. And Cohen's an interesting guy. I mean, he's obviously a Trump guy. He's obviously a person that has other business interests. My understanding is he has like 200 cab medallions. So he's in a situation where he's doing a lot of different things. And, you know, the question is going to be, was Sean Hannity talking to him in a protected environment, or was Sean just throwing ideas out saying, I'd like some business advice? And that's another thing. Is it business advice or is it legal advice? Whenever I'm giving someone business advice, I assume that's legal advice because I'm a lawyer, right? I'm not a financial person. Yep. I'm not an expert in whatever the topic is, but I am an expert in legal areas. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I think Hannity's in trouble. I think there's more to come on this. It just feels like there has to be more to the story than he's given up so far. And the fact that he was going after everybody else for their conflicts of interest while he did this, and Fox is not punishing him in any way, shape, or form, even a symbolic suspension of a couple of days, says a lot about Hannity and a lot about Fox. It ain't what it used to be at Fox.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, that's not my purview because I'm the legal person, but it is amazing that our news used to be so, everything was separated, right? And even Walter Jacobson, when he did his perspective, he would go to a different room and take off his coat because they didn't want to mix up the opinion and the editor kind of stuff with him reading the news and being kind of the fair both sides. And now there's just such a blend of that. We don't even know where opinion starts and news ends. So it's kind kind of unfortunate because I think some people, like myself, I like to get to try to get the facts. Let me make up my own decision, but that's not the way it is anymore.
Andre's going to ask you about the Starbucks thing, but we're out of time, so we may drag you back in to discuss this. What happens? Can they sue? And things of that nature.
Yeah, just,
so.
I know it's polarizing, Karen, but Starbucks doing a lot of damage control. I guess, briefly, what can companies do to ensure that rules are followed? Because all businesses and all companies have rules that they want their patrons to follow without offending.
Well, and they have to enforce those rules equally. So no matter who's sitting there, if they're using the bathroom and not ordering something, then everyone has to be arrested. And
Wait. White people?
Out.
White people have to follow the rules?
So, yeah. And it's one thing to have rules, but you have to enforce them completely, gender neutral, race neutral, et cetera.
I did not know that about white people. Karen Conti, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hear her Sunday night. On 720 WGN. The news next. And then Jordan Goodman has some money news to spill. We'll see if we can get a couple of your questions in, too, if you want to text them in at 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A couple of financial wizards.
Those Rockefellers.
Get a tray for these two great big important Samoans here.
We'll save them for seed. Toast.
A toast. A toast to Mama Dollar and to Papa Dollar. And if you want to keep this old building alone in business, you better have a family real quick.
The best things in life are free. 7:14, Jordan Goodman joins me. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Steve. Great to be with you again.
MoneyAnswers.com for all things money. There's a couple of textures I want to get to in a second here. Before we do that, though, how are the markets this morning? What do you expect?
They're up. It's interesting. It's like a binary choice. On one hand, if things are normal, we don't have trade tariffs, we don't like we're going to go to nuclear war with North Korea, then things are pretty good. And then when one tweet comes out, and people worry that we're going to, you know, potentially go to war, or Middle East have a war, or a trade war with China, then the market goes down. So it's kind of one way they're happy, one way they're not. Right now, so far this week, they've been happy, and things are looking pretty good. But you never know moment to moment, Steve.
What happened to our trade war with China?
The tariffs are still, the tariffs on steel and aluminum have actually gone into effect. And that's affecting things all over the place. It's raising costs for Americans buying steel and aluminum all over the place. But the other ones, they're proposed, but they haven't actually gone into effect yet. Larry Kudlow's come into the White House now. He's like the...
You know Kudlow.
Trader.
Do you like him?
Yeah, he's great, but he's in a situation where he's got to kind of swallow his views. He's the ultimate free trader, and he doesn't like tariffs. He calls tariffs taxes, which they really are. So he doesn't like them, but he's been kind of saying, well, you know, China's done some bad things, which I agree they have. And you've got to stand up to them, because otherwise they're just going to keep getting away with stealing our technology and our intellectual property and high tariffs and protectionist of their own industries. I agree with that. The question is, do you want to go into a depression to stop them from doing it, which is what might happen if we get into a real trade war here?
Yeah, because you pay on this end, and the farmers would really get slammed if they continue on our
Absolutely. Farmers board. Are really in the front lines of this battle, yes. So it hasn't happened yet, but there's still a lot of threats going back. I mean, we started with steel and aluminum. The Chinese responded with $3 billion in tariffs on about 128 products. Then Trump responded with $50 billion, and they raised them $50 billion. He said, okay, we'll do $100 billion. It's like a poker game, I guess. They just keep raising them, except we got real people's lives on the line here.
Is there any trade war that works? I mean, aren't there other ways to
we've
to
never
deal
won
with
a trade
China?
War. Well, no, nobody's ever won a trade
yeah, exactly.
War.
Nobody wins.
You know, Trump said they're easy to win. No, they're not easy to win. Both sides always lose. But, I mean, the question, I guess, is what do you do to China to stand up to their bad behavior? I mean, that we've won cases in the World Trade Organization, and they don't follow through even after they've lost a legal case. They do subsidize their industries, and they're overproducing steel and aluminum, and they do steal our technology and our intellectual property.
Well, it just seems that the only thing you can do is find it elsewhere. And I know that's a little hard to do when companies are getting the labor rates they're getting in China, yeah. But somebody's got to step up and say, okay, this piece of business isn't going to China.
It's such a big market. It's the second biggest market. I mean, U.S. and China are the two biggest markets in the world. So there isn't, like, another China to go to. I mean, this is what I've been saying about Trump, is that he's dealing with China like a real estate developer in New York, you know, negotiating for elevators for his next building. It's like, well, if you don't give me the deal I want, I'm going to go to elevator guy number two. Well, there isn't another China to go to if he doesn't like the deal he gets from the first time. It's strange, because on one hand, he's trying to get cooperation from them in North Korea, and maybe that's working to some extent. On the other hand, we've got this potential trade war. And the Chinese, as you know, Steve, I've been to China, and a big part of their whole culture there is saving face. And I say Trump is in your face, which is the opposite of saving face. They don't want to look weak. They don't look like they're backing down. And he puts them in a position where, you know, you raise them $100 billion in tariffs, and we'll come back right at you. I mean, they're not going to look like, oh, fine, we'll give in, we'll everything you want, you know, we'll do it. It just doesn't work that way.
Earnings season, we're in the middle of it. That means companies report, and companies that do well mean you do well if you own it. If they don't do well, it might be a good time to buy. What do you like today?
It's been great. Earnings this morning, Morgan Stanley came out very strongly. The banks have been doing very well. At, I must say, consumers' expense, because what's happening with the banks, I mean, we had J.P. Morgan, we had Citibank, Wells Fargo, all of the banks with huge profits, because what they're doing is they're raising what they're charging on loans, as the Federal Reserve keeps raising rates. So they're raising on credit cards and small business loans and student loans and car loans, but they're not raising what they're paying on deposits. So the banks are coming out ahead, the bank shareholders are coming ahead, but the poor people out there are like, well, why don't I get a piece of this action here? When the Fed raises rates, why don't you pay me more?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is people sit there like a lump and take it. And the banks say, well, if they're going to leave their money and pay them nothing, great. We'll just take their money for free,
right,
and not do it. So I've always said there's an alternative to that. You don't have to be like a lump and sit there earning nothing. I've mentioned before, it's been very popular with your listeners. I like these secured real estate funds as a way of earning an 8% yield over 1 year.
Get so it's 8% like over 0.25%? I don't know that that works. Come on.
You're too greedy.
All right. What's the website?
The website for that is securedrealestatefunds.com. The price of it doesn't go up and down. It stays at $10 a share. And it's the maximum they lend is 70% of the value of the property. So there's a big kind of cushion there.
And minimum in?
Long-term track record. And the minimum's 5,000. And the minimum hold time is 1 year. After that, you can get your money whenever
you like.
It's
pretty good.
And you can do it inside an IRA, outside an IRA. Your listeners have loved that. I've helped a lot of people with that, because to sit there like a lump earning zero at a time, you know, you can say your money's safe, but you're actually losing to inflation. Look at what's happening with healthcare costs and with tuition costs and taxes and gasoline and all. They're going up way more than the official 2% inflation rate. So to sit there earning nothing is not, you know, you're falling behind by doing nothing. So there's a way of getting an 8% yield. Again, securedrealestatefunds.com can help some of these folks.
All right, when we come back, what do you want to ask?
I want to ask him about how people can get a decent mortgage now that rates have risen.
Sure.
All right,
yep,
stand by for that. Some credit card questions coming in, student loans.
I need a dollar, 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 that's what I need. Well, I need
725 MoneyAnswers.com for Jordan Goodman. Andrea?
All right, Jordan, how can people get a decent mortgage now that rates have risen?
They definitely have risen. The 30-year fixed rate's up to about 4.6, and the 15-year's up to about 4%. They'd been below 3% for 15-year, below 4% for 30-year. But the housing market's still doing quite well, so people seem to be buying homes even though the mortgage rates are higher. Let me give a specific way to save a lot of money on mortgages for what I like to call American heroes. And heroes are defined as fire, police, EMT, doctors, dentists, clergy, and radio announcers.
You know, right. Those would be the vitals.
In that order.
In that order.
Mm-hmm.
There's something called the Heroes Come First program, heroescomefirst.com. And what they do is you get a quarter of the real estate commission back as a rebate when you're buying a home or when you're selling a home. And you also get big discounts on the interest rate on mortgage and all the closing costs, audits and all the different things that revolve to that. It could be literally $7,000 or $8,000 if you fit into those categories. It's a way of giving back to people who are giving all the time. You know, you're in the airport and you say thank you for your service when you go past the military guy, but this is actually giving them like $7,000. And actually, they have a grant under certain circumstances, $7,500 grant, which you don't have to pay back, to buy a first home as well. There's just all kinds of ways to help people save a lot of money. And I bet a lot of your listeners are heroes in various ways. So there's a website for that, heroes.com. CreditComeFirst.com.
We haven't talked about this lately, but it's an ongoing thing. The credit card bubble used to be the number one concern. It's still top three.
Right.
And there is a way for you to get a great credit card rate that has nothing to do with you trying to find the right bank in Illinois. So item number one, you can get a credit card anywhere, right?
That's correct. Around the country, there's a free website, guidetocreditcard.com, that'll give you all the best deals. Steve, I know you know the answer, but how about Andrea? Which is the state that has the lowest interest rates on credit cards always?
I'll give you a hint. You look really cute today.
Arkansas.
There you go.
Correct.
Yes.
Because they have usury ceilings.
Thank you, Steve, and President Clinton.
Yes.
Clinton has a great credit card, I must say. Yes. Hillary, particularly. She really used it very well, actually. She had very low interest rate on her. But anyway, they have usury ceilings left over from the Depression. They can't charge more than 5% over the prime rate. The prime rate today is 4.75%, so they can't charge more than 9.75%, but a lot of them are like in the 7-8% range long term. So that's the lowest interest credit cards. But I would also say get frequent flyer miles, get rewards, get rebates. There's lots of different things. But get two or three cards that are really the best for your specific needs and concentrate your spending on those. Some people have like 13 credit cards and they're spending spread all over the place. And by the time they get enough frequent flyer miles to have a trip, they've expired. So
and two or three is the optimal number. Pay your monthly bill, obviously. But two or three is the optimal number to get a good credit score.
That's plenty. But not one. I would do two or three. That's correct.
All right. Last question for now, at least. The student loan crisis gets worse every single day. And there are a lot of parents and grandparents listening who are stressed because they want their kid or grandkid to be able to get out of school, whether it's this May or a May to be coming soon, and not have to worry about debt and actually get a chance to get a job and a house before they're 30. So what are we doing about student loans?
So the first thing is to consolidate them. If you've got a bunch of federal loans at different interest rates, consolidate them all into one at the lowest possible interest rate. There's a place called the Student Loan Help Center to help them do that, which is consolidatecollege.com. It can be kind of complicated to do that, so that'll help you there. And then people don't realize you can refinance your student loans to typically in the 2 to 3% range, and that's helped a lot of your listeners in the past. There's a place to do that called Credible. Their website, credible.com, and then just do /money answers. They know it's me. That way you get $200 off your first payment when you do it.
Nice.
I like to hand out money, so there's $200 to everybody right there.
That's a good deal.
So it's a clearinghouse. It's not just one lender. They've got like five or six different lenders who have different programs that's best for your situation. So say you have some loans at 4 and 6 and 10, whatever it may be. You're combining them all into one. Typically in the 2 to 3% range, and that'll help you pay them off a little bit quicker. There's also been a lot of controversy about this income-based repayment program, where if you work in the nonprofit sector, 501c3, or the government, you can enroll in this thing, pay the minimum for 10 years, and have the rest of it forgiven. But there's been a lot of controversy over what actually does qualify, what doesn't qualify. There's been a lot of bureaucratic screw-ups about, you know, your payments are going towards it, they're not going towards it. The Department of Education's got a real mess on their hands with this program. But in theory, income-based repayment can get you out of debt in 10 years instead of the rest of your life.
Prime rate's going to go how high?
Well, we're at 4.75 now. I think the Fed's going to raise rates twice more this year, which would bring it up to 5.25 this year. And they're going to raise at least three times more next year, which would bring us up to 6% on the prime. It's just clear, Steve, that interest rates are going up. The economy being strong is good, but to the Fed, that means potential inflation, even though we don't have actual inflation in many cases. And I tell you, if we have a trade war, having rising interest rates and a trade war at the same time is not a good combination.
Bad idea. MoneyAnswers.com. Thank you, Jordan. And let's come back with your headlines next on 720 WGN.
Somewhere out in this audience may even be someone who will one day follow in my footsteps and preside over the White House as the president's spouse. And I wish him well.
Barbara Bush died yesterday at 92. That's a clip from her famous Wellesley commencement address. In 1992, Marianne Ahearn interviewed the First Lady, and that interview has been posted at NBCChicago.com for the past day or so, and it's still up there now, and you ought to go out and take a look at it. How are you, Marianne?
Good morning, and with big, big hair. If you I said, whoa, what was I thinking?
Well, that was 1992. It was hip then. And I thought you looked fabulous, by the way.
Well, thanks. What I recall of that interview, the Secret Service nearly arrested us. I had a rather ornery photographer who wasn't listening to their orders. And so we were held in another room for quite a while.
Is that right?
Yes. It was a crazy day. And I had only been here a couple of years at that point. So I was sort of, I thought, oh, dear, if I don't come back with this interview, I'm going to be in big trouble.
Well, you know, I met her in 1985 the first time. No, it was later than that. It was 1987. So she and I was working on radio in St. Louis at the time. And she and Oprah came in for one of Barbara Bush, she's second lady at that point, doing one of her literacy events. And they gave us this big, thick packet, this PR packet. And at one point, I turned and I had, you know, just standing around, I had rolled this packet up. So now it's a weapon, right? And I turned and I accidentally jabbed it into the stomach of a Secret Service guy. So I figured they were taking me away as well.
Well, as you, if you do watch it, you see, you know, we asked her about, at the time, Saturday Night Live was often.
Yeah.
Husband. And she took it like a champ. She said, oh, sure, he laughed. But guess what? He is in touch. She made her point.
Yeah.
She was no, you know, smiling just, you know, for the cameras. She was quite bright and wanted to make sure. Minced no words. You know, she got her point across.
Yeah, and she was really, you know, she just couldn't have been nicer. That same event I was talking about, I told her about my brother who has special needs and has difficulty reading. And 3 or 4 years later, I think it was 3 years later, now she's the first lady and I interviewed her. The first thing she asked me was, how's your brother Mickey? Imagine all the people she met over that 3 year period in between, and she remembered my brother's name. She's pretty,
pretty
cool.
Yeah, that's a gift, right. I had also one crazy story to tell you about her husband, of course, the president. I was a reporter in Atlanta at the time when he announced that he was running, and I had read this big Newsweek profile with him on the front that said wimp with a question mark, and it talked about how he ran every day. So the folks who called ahead of time and said, you're going to get a one-on-one for 10 minutes. I said, well, I hear he runs every day. We'd like to run with him. Well, I don't know if he runs. And of course, oh, well, I guess that article is not true. We need to, you know, we'll make sure. So they call and say, okay, be at the Georgia Tech track tomorrow at 8 a.m. and he will run. And, you know, silly me thinks, oh, I'm going to get to run with the vice president. I am not a runner, first of all. And there was, you know, a whole press corps and an ambulance and a police car and the whole bit. And we take off and I am barely making it. And at the time, Lee Atwater, the famous Lee Atwater, teasing me the entire way, saying, I guess you're not quite a runner, are you? And we get, you know, I finish it barely, you know, dying, and later go back to the place where we're going to interview him, change, and I walk in, and he looks at me, and he says, oh, didn't recognize you with your clothes on. it was the best. It was the best. So they both are just really, really terrific.
Yeah.
Marian, a true, just such a lady and such a loving mother. We often heard President George W. Bush, the son, saying, can't forget to call my mom. You know, so there was just always that love. And Jeb Bush is actually in the Chicago area today. He's keeping his engagement at a forum at Elmhurst College. And I think that's truly what she would have wanted him to do.
Yeah, that's what he said, right? He goes, Mom would want me to do this.
Right.
Right. That's where I am actually headed today. And, you know, there is a city council meeting. There's always so many things going on politically. But I said, no, I think this is the story of the day politically that people want to hear and see what he has to say. And, yes, I thought that was really terrific that he said, yeah, I'll be there.
Unfortunately, regular politics does go on. So let me ask you about a couple of things. You did a story yesterday about the Republican Party in the state being a mess. How big a mess is it?
Well, it is quite a mess. A letter sent, this is just one Republican committeeman in the 16th district. This is sort of central, a little more down, closer. It's Adam Kinzinger's district.
Mm-hmm.
And he supported, this committeeman supported Kinzinger's opponent as well as Jeannie Ives. And so 4 members of the Illinois General Assembly, Republicans, have sent him a letter saying, we ask you not to run again. Wow. You know, so much. Yeah. And he says, no, I'm running. You know, too bad. Sorry that I didn't support the person that you wanted me to support. But I believe that there's room for all of us. And, you know, will they all come together? Perhaps. But I do think there is some concern of folks staying away in November. You know, maybe it isn't that they so much dislike. Well, that is it. I mean, they're just not going to show up, perhaps. That's what the concern is. We'll see. We've got a lot of time till November to get there.
All right.
But yeah. If the election were today.
And we continue to thump it, too, and that people have to get out and vote. If you don't vote, don't bitch. I mean, that seems like a decent
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Marion, mayoral race. I know it's very early. You have Rahm facing off against Paul Vallis, Gary McCarthy. Any early thoughts, any early leads? Predictions.
Well, and today we're going to have activist Jamal Green. He's yeah. going to announce later this afternoon. We also have a brand new candidate, a novice, Neil Sales Griffin. He teaches at University of Chicago. He's announcing, I believe, on Saturday. And then you all often have Bridget Gaynor on. We're waiting for her to make her move.
Right.
Yeah, and Lori Lightfoot. So it could be, how about 10 different candidates.
Wow.
That is really something. I almost at this point see the mayor's race, even though it's after the governor's race, sort of superseding it in terms of coverage because there's just going to be so much going on.
And with 10 candidates, how do you avoid a runoff?
Oh my God.
I don't see how you do.
Yeah.
I just don't see how you do.
Yeah, because you got to remember.
Because it is the city election, you do have to have 50% plus one. It's different than the statewide election.
Right.
So. Right. That's what they're all aiming for, you know, is someone to get into a runoff with, of course, the mayor.
All right. Last question. You know what a big fan of Mike Madigan I am. And he would like to continue to be the speaker and run the party. Are there any Democrats who have the guts to stand up to him and vote no to him?
No. No, absolutely not. Short and sweet. And this afternoon, they're going to Cook County Democrats will be meeting to vote for likely Tony Preckwinkle to replace Joe Berrios. But yeah, I mean, and you know, to Madigan's credit, he does what he has to do. He makes the calls, he provides the support that they're looking for, and we saw what happened. Scott Drury was the only one who said no to him as speaker, and he was vilified. So no, not yet. I don't think that's happening, despite all what they had to say. And the sex harassment that still lingers and the crazy comments of, oh, come to me first, which reminded me of, I hate to even bring it up, you know, the unfortunate priest abuse of, you know, come to the church.
Absolutely.
You know, no, go to the authorities. Go to the authorities. Don't come to Speaker Madigan first.
No, and he should be held accountable for that. And the women of Springfield have been no better than the men. They haven't stood up to him either. Marianne Ahern, great job by you as always. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
All right, see you soon. That's Marianne Ahern. She's tremendous.
She's the best.
We like her husband, too.
Yeah, we do. Tom.
Yeah, Tom. Shiftless Tom. ATF hero for all these years.
That's right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
7:55, glad to be your White Sox flagship station. And Dave, some people are going, well, that's not a good team. This is a young team that's on the way to being a good team, on the way to being a great team, that provides exciting baseball, even on days when it doesn't end the right way. So, you know, if you're going to go and you're probably going to see 6 or 7 runs a game, game might end 8-7, 9-8, but it's going to be fun at the ballpark.
Yeah, they haven't hit on this road trip, but and they didn't hit really all that well towards the tail end of that homestand.
Well,
but
make my
for the
point.
Most part. No, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. I think, you know, I think they knew that with so many young guys, you're going to have stretches where you don't hit. You're going to have stretches where the pitching isn't where you want it to be.
Maybe you're not fielding well on that day.
Yeah, they're in one of those right now, but that's not to say when they get home to take on the World Series champion Houston Astros this weekend that they won't snap out of it.
Here's what we're going to do. We'll give away some tickets next hour. Give away 4 tickets for a fun day at the old ballpark. And I never give away tickets unless it's 50 degrees or higher on that particular game day.
Okay.
Yes,
fair.
So they're going to be listening for a sound, a particular sound, a key to call. And that sounds, this is not the time.
this is just a test.
This is just the example. Have that 312-91-7200 number ready when you hear this. Weird. Every time the White Sox have any ball-to-bat contact, a Journey song plays.
I know. It's strange. That's a good one. If they're going to play it, well, makes sense.
Wouldn't it be ironic if somebody named Sherry won?
Oh, look what you did
then
there.
Then you'd say, oh, Sherry, you won the tickets.
Look what you did there. I'll take it back.
I'm sorry.
All right, so listen for that. The next time you hear it, be caller number 7, and you're going to win 4 tickets for the Sox. It's going to happen. Why don't we guarantee it happens before 9? How about that?
Perfect.
So in the 8 o'clock hour, it'll definitely happen. All right, 7:58. Back with more of the Steve Cochran Show next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Yeah, 8:11 now, and Dean Richards, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Hello, 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 hello.
Are you all right?
Hello,
okay?
Hello, can you hear me?
Can hear you just fine.
You can hear me fine?
Hear your
Oh, now I can
fine.
Hear you fine.
Was now there trouble? Fine. Was there trouble?
Yes,
was there
is.
Trouble?
You know what it is? When people here do remote broadcasts,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they do broadcasts back to the radio station.
Wait, they do remotes from your desk?
Even though we have like two or three other places where they can do it, for some reason they like to come to my desk and do it.
You know why they like it? Because of your musky smell.
It could be.
Yeah, they come over and they go, Dean, I love the Old Spice. The combination of clown shoes and Old Spice.
I do have good snacks here, too. Mm-hmm.
It was the new anchor. I heard him on Newsaroos last night
right.
with Roe. He did it from Dean's spot.
I knew this guy would be trouble, this Donlin character.
Yeah, get to know Joe. Joe Donlin.
Get to know Joe. Get your own desk, Joe. I think it's a new name.
I don't think he has his. Well, no, he must have his own desk.
Why don't they give him some Bell's office?
Yeah. There's only room for one Joe in this town.
That's right, and that's Super Joe. By the way, Sapelsa texted the other day to say hi.
Oh, that's nice.
How's he doing?
He's just wandering the woods with moose.
Has he killed a moose yet or anything?
With his bare hands, as all Montana men do. No, he's doing great. He's doing great. Looks happy. Doesn't have the full Letterman beard.
I thought you were going to say wandering the woods with Hillary.
That's different woods.
That's right.
But I wonder if people who live in the woods share the woods. Yeah. Like, would Hillary visit his woods?
Maybe.
Dean, you've been following?
I don't think I would wander the woods.
No, I don't see you. I don't see me. I don't see either one of us going, you know what? Montana. You know, I don't see that happening.
I don't see that. I was a Boy Scout. I used to go camping all the time. I used to enjoy it quite a bit. I think I've outgrown it.
We camped all the time. We had one of these pop-up campers.
Mm.
You know, they look flat, and then they'd pop up, and then the tent comes out on either side. Fantastic.
That's fancy. We did it old. We kicked it old school. Pup tent, my friend.
Pup tent. Yeah, I had a pup tent when I was a kid.
Troop 585, Chicago area Boy Scouts.
You know how people always complain they used to get the hump in the car? Like the youngest kid would get the hump. You know what I mean?
Excuse me.
You know, the hump. You know the hump.
I always had the hump.
That's me. I was the youngest.
Yeah, you had to sit on a hump.
No, the middle child had the hump.
Yeah. So I always got the hump when we were camping in a pup tent. Nobody wants an explanation
Wait
for
a
that
minute.
Sense?
How on earth?
How many people did you have in your pup tent?
Because there would always be like an uneven patch of ground where there was rocks or something,
right.
And I'd always get the spot that had the rocks or
the
something
rocks
in my back the whole night.
Right. Never had the blow-up mattress.
No. Lay on the ground, man. No.
That's why I never can.
Duff it out.
See, what I did before we put the pup tent down, we'd lay our cartons of cigarettes that we brought down.
Right.
Which acted as a nice cushion.
Right. Yeah, my dad at one point volunteered to have all the beer cans from the empties from the day that I could, you know, use as some sort of bed to sleep on. Be a little loud when you roll over, though, all that crinkling metal.
I'm not proud of this, and kids, don't follow your Uncle Dean on this, but literally when camping once, when we went to a WASPE scout camp in Michigan, anyone who was in Boy Scouts in the Chicago area went there, but they had floorboards, and on top of which then you would put your tent. And me and my friend Charlie, we thought we were big shots, and literally all we did was stay in the tent and smoke cigarettes. We were 13 years old.
Yeah, getting it done.
13.
Sure.
We would do that and try to do as little work as possible. At the end of the 2 weeks, we had to lift the floorboards out, you know, break the whole tent down. There were hundreds and hundreds of cigarette butts under our floorboard. How we didn't set that thing on fire was amazing.
I'm surprised your cough is cleared up.
You know, that's not recommended in the Boy Scout manual.
No. It's not?
Specifically.
I thought you could get a badge for smoking.
It didn't say not to. It didn't.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There must have been an assumption that they assumed that you would know one of those things.
Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly,
thrifty,
brave, clean, reverent. Didn't say anything about smoking in those items.
You know when I knew camping wasn't for me? Here's a nice memory. I wake up one morning to chatter. There's chatter outside.
Oh.
And we used to camp in this beautiful area on the St. Lawrence, on the border between New York State and Canada. And really beautiful. And fish the St. Lawrence. Used to catch, 30, 40 feet carp.
Nice.
They were huge. And one morning I hear chatter. I look out, and my father, my uncle, and two or three other guys. It's 7:30 in the morning, maybe. They're frying something up for breakfast.
Mm-mm.
And they're drinking beer, 7:30 in the morning. They're having beer and fried eel.
Oh.
E-E-L. Ooh. At 7 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I thought. Swirl.
No. Isn't eel bad enough?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's what's worse.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with people that ate squirrels. I thought eel was as bad as it got.
And I'm sure, like our scout camp, there's a perfectly good Denny's right down the road.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? When my kids came along, I thought, well, it'd be good for them to go camping. Mm-hmm. Then we'd find a hotel.
Yeah.
But we keep the windows open so they'd get the feel. So, all right, here's what's coming up. Bill Murray was in town. Steven Spielberg's got a sort of a surprising movie he's going to do, if you're a big Spielberg fan like most of us are. Taylor Swift's got all sorts of problems going on, not of her making. And Beyonce couldn't be more generous and delightful. All of that coming up. Stand by. More with Dean in a moment. Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles. Turtles for Trampling. What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Jeez.
Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Oh, Lisa, stop pining for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is Jug?
Have yourself some vittles. I'll have some, too.
The girl that
Let's go
you.
Kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Couldn't be more proud of the work we're doing here.
I don't know how we haven't won a Peabody Award.
I think they're trying to combine them, like a PME or an M-body. something to sort of keep us off both award shows.
Hmm.
All right, Bill Murray was in town.
He and his brothers all...
Harpo.
There's like six,
Gecko,
six of them, something like that. There's
Shecky.
There's Joel. There's Ed. There's...
Brian Doyle.
Annette.
There's Annette. I didn't know one of the brothers was named Annette.
Well, the mom was a big fan of the Mouseketeers.
Wow.
That's all a surprise. That's all I knew.
But you talked to him?
Yes, we talked with Bill yesterday.
Did you get nice Bill or cranky Bill?
We got nice Bill.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Bill.
Because you can get either.
I would say it's either nice Bill or eclectic Bill.
Yeah.
I can't ever say that he's been mean, but...
No, I've never gotten mean, but I've gotten cranky, and I really don't want to talk to you right now, Bill.
He can be a little eclectic at times, but he was very nice yesterday, talking about the brand-new restaurant, Murray Brothers Caddyshack, which you would like this place. It's a golf-themed...
Yeah, baby.
It's
sports-themed,
Caddyshack, the movie-themed as well. Really, really good menu. We talked one-on-one with the boys. This first cut is Bill talking about this 1980 comedy classic that people still throw quotes at him for all the time.
I guess I'm a little surprised, but it really had some of the greatest funny people of that time in the movie. I mean, Ted Knight was really stupid, funny guy. You know, Harold Ramis was directing it. Doug Kenny, one of the greatest comic minds ever, wrote it with Brian and Harold. And, Rodney Dangerfield, really?
Was that Rodney's first movie?
Yeah, it was Rodney Dangerfield's first movie. One of the most dangerous people you've ever come across. You think you want to party. Careful. Careful. That guy was really fun. And Chevy, I mean, everyone was funny in the movie. Everyone was funny in the movie. And we just kept lighting it up. It was... and there was a freedom that we had because... we all thought we were pretty good, so we were loose. So we got to improvise a lot, and it took, you know, we just kept coming up. I only had one scene to begin with, and they called back and say, you want to come back down and do it, do something else? And yeah, all right. In Florida, I mean, if you're from Chicago and you're in Florida in the winter, there's no rush. We're not in any hurry here.
So he was very nostalgic about the movie, but, you know, he's a big sports fan. And any big Cubs, anything that's going on at Wrigley Field, Bill Murray is there. You know, you always see the shot of
him. Well, he went to all the World Series games, right? Didn't we see him at all of them?
All the World Series games. So when I asked him what was his very favorite Cub moment of all time, I thought he would say the World Series. I was surprised when he didn't.
For me, the most iconic moment was 8-8-88 when I was sort of able, you know, and imagine like a kid that's a caddy being able to get his hands on 25 tickets for the game, okay? They were the worst tickets in Wrigley Field, too. They were in the right field upper deck, you know, and I'm telling my mom, we're going to the game, Mom. Well, she was almost exhausted and had a heart attack by the time we got to the seats. And then the rain began, and the rain was, if you remember, it was coming out of the north, and it was coming right into our faces, and it was just really, you know, the first pitch was practically, first batter hits a home run off Sutcliffe, and then it just got worse, and then the rain came, and then I saw, like, what looked like television PAs, you know what they look like, kind of looking through the crowd up in the upper, they're up in the double deck. I said, oh, Mom, I think they're coming for me, you know, it was like, Bill, would you mind helping Harry fill the next hour and 45 minutes of rain delay? And Harry needed a little help because Harry was very excited about the game. He was already very excited. So I was there for a very long time with Harry. But that was that kind of, because it was just ridiculous that, you know, here we are. It's just a, it's kind of like a good Chicago joke. I liked it.
It was great. I was watching some, clips of Bill Murray and Harry during the rain delay. Absolutely classic, hilarious, so great.
And isn't it funny that Harry would be a little edgy around anyone?
Right?
Right?
Right.
But Murray made him a little nervous at times. I don't know what he's going to do next. Well, you're Harry friggin' Carey. By the way, Andrea's looking at the menu at this place. What are they serving?
Well, they have double bogey cheeseburgers.
Okay.
Caddy shakes.
Caddy shake.
And these, right. I think both of you would like to partake in the crispy potato golf balls.
I saw them. They're a little cute. They're like little hash browns, but they're round.
They're potato balls.
They're like
potato
tots.
Potato balls.
Crispy potato golf balls.
Tater tots, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not bad.
That sounds good, right?
Yeah. They laid out all the food, you know, for the TV cameras to shoot. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
Salads and
fun joint.
Vegetarian.
And that's
stuff
at that Rosemont Entertainment Center, huh?
It is not.
It's not.
No, it's adjacent to the Crown Plaza Hotel, which is, it's just off
It's right off of River Road.
Just off of River Road there, yeah. It's a really beautiful restaurant. Beautiful restaurant.
Okay. Well, it's all right next door.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about a couple other things here. Steven Spielberg's going to do a comic book movie.
He's going to do a DC Comics film.
No, he needs the money.
I like DC Comics. I don't think I remember Black Hawk. Do you remember Black
Not
Hawk?
Not in the least.
Maybe he looked and said, well, Black Panther did well. Find me something black. And I'll, you know,
that's possible, but maybe it's just it's an homage to the Blackhawks.
It's turns out it's a 1941 comic about a World War II fighter pilots led by a mysterious man known as Blackhawk.
Okay,
first I've heard of it, but he's going to do that. Taylor Swift's
Dom DeLuise playing the lead in that one.
Dom DeLuise has passed away.
Oh, okay.
So we'll have to find somebody equally as
entertaining,
hunky. Hunky, yeah.
I know you're searching for the right word there.
As hunky. Beyonce donated $100,000 to some college students at her Coachella concert that Steve was at last weekend.
Yeah, I'm going back.
She talked about empowering traditional black colleges and picked four students, gave them $25,000 apiece. To go to college, which I think is a pretty nice thing.
But come get it, babe. Come get it, babe. Give it to the kids, babe. She said if I stopped singing, she'd do that.
She would give more.
Yeah. And what's going on at Taylor Swift's house?
Taylor Swift's house, well, about a week ago, somebody scaled the giant wall, like a 10-foot wall, and got onto her property. She wasn't there, but still, somebody broke onto her property last week. And then somebody did it again a couple of days ago. This is scary, though. It was a masked man who had a knife, rubber gloves, and a rope on him at the time he was arrested.
It's insane.
Again, Taylor Swift was not home at the time, thank goodness. But this guy who they arrested is on probation for a gun offense in Colorado. Hopping over the fence, getting onto Taylor Swift's property.
But they did catch him.
They did catch him, and he's behind bars at the moment.
There's a lot of crazy people in this world. So I agree. You're not listening to any of them here. Well, thanks for the work you're doing, Dean.
Steve, it's my pleasure. And I just also want to say, I know you've been talking about this morning. I'm sad about the death of Barbara Bush.
Yeah, same here. But what a life. 90, what a life lived.
92 years old, but what a life lived. But what an elegant, lovely, wonderful person who raised her family and cared about America. And I'm very sad for our loss as Americans.
And you can tell the character of someone by how the people that work for them feel about them years later. And when George W. was president, whenever the parents in the case of him would come by, the White House staff would be thrilled. Mm-hmm. Those that were, that were still around after those years.
Now, you have to tell me, it's too soon now, but you have to tell me when I can dig out the old Phil Hartman Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it's definitely too soon today. Even though I know she thought it was funny. I totally forgotten about that. Wow. Thank you, buddy.
See you.
8:31, headlines next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
At any moment, Joe may get sneaky, Super Joe, and slip in that White Sox cue to win. Remember what it sound was? Remember the sound was? You guys remember?
I do. Yes.
Remember, every time the White Sox have any ball-to-bat contact, Journey starts playing? Could happen at any time. 8:43 now. A couple of things in the news. Of course, we've been talking about this Southwest Airlines tragedy. This plane that takes off from, was it Boston or New York?
Took off from New York going to Dallas.
Going to Dallas.
The one from yesterday, yeah.
25 minutes in the air, reaches cruising altitude or almost a cruising altitude at 30,000 feet. And there's a huge noise. And what had happened was there was a missing fan blade and a stressed metal. Piece of the metal shears off, blows off the covering on one of the engines. That shrapnel rips into the side of the airplane, blows out a window. The woman sitting in that window, because of the incredible pressure change, you know, it's like a nightmare movie scene. It's partially sucked out of the plane. People sitting there at the obvious risk to their own lives pull her back in, but she appears to have been mortally wounded by either the initial explosion or being blown out of the plane. The temperature at that altitude is horrific, as you can imagine, and all the other sort of things. You just have to hope that, she was rendered completely unconscious and didn't suffer right away. She's a prominent citizen of Albuquerque, New Mexico, a couple of kids.
Yeah, Jennifer Reardon.
And 41, something like that.
43 years old. Yeah, bank amazing. Executive, sat on a bunch of different boards, volunteered.
Yeah, had a big deal job.
School, big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a terribly sad story. And Southwest Airlines obviously is trying to go through all of their equipment now to figure out what metal is stressed. Some of these planes, I don't know if people realize, some of these planes you fly are 30, 35 years old. And you think, well, how could that be? I'm not driving a car that's 30, 35 years old. But the maintenance of them is very good. But you brought up a great point off the air. You think about this, Dave, because you fly all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You get on a Southwest plane, you sit where you sit.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no assigned seats.
Right.
Imagine the randomness of life that this woman ends up in that seat when this incredibly rare thing happens to the airplane and the shrapnel happens to hit her window.
Unbelievable.
How do you make sense of that?
Yeah. And the next time you fly, take a really good look at the 737 because you'll notice there's on the line of windows, there's a couple of windows missing in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's specifically over the wing for this particular problem. So if something happens with an engine, it can't fly up into one of those windows. So it'll be interesting to see now if they change this configuration at all, now that they know a closer window could possibly be at risk.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
a good point. Yeah.
I mean, I understand the odds, but I don't know how you could adjust for that, right? Because the blast pattern could be, you know, such that the shrapnel could hit anywhere.
Yeah. Just such a freak accident.
And here's the other question you raised. With that hole in the side of the plane and it being whatever temperature outside.
30,000 feet, I'm told, 35 to 40 below.
Mm-hmm. So how then is there still any heat left inside the plane?
I have no idea.
I mean, why would everybody just freeze? Or why wouldn't it become just extraordinarily cold right away?
That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that.
And Tammy Jo Schultz is the pilot.
Oh, you got to hear the sound. We got the sound here.
Oh, God. Nerves of steel.
This is a former combat pilot?
Yes, in the Navy.
And an amazing pilot. And this is the actual audio of when she was flying the plane and talking to the folks on the ground about what had happened. Listen.
Southwest 1380. I understand your emergency. Let me know when you want to go in.
Yeah, we have a part of the aircraft missing, so we're going to need to slow down a bit.
Southwest 1380. Speed is your discretion. Maintain at any altitude above 3,000 feet.
Southwest 1380. Like to turn, start turning inbound.
Southwest 1380. Turn, just start turning southbound there. There's a Southwest 737 on a 4 mile final. We'll be turning southbound. Start looking for the airport. It's off to your right and slightly behind you there. And altitude is your discretion. Use caution for the downtown areas.
Okay. Could you have the medical meet us there on the runway as well? We've got injured passengers.
Injured passengers. Okay. And is your airplane physically on fire?
No, it's not on fire, but part of it's missing. They said there was a hole and someone went out.
Just incredible.
Unbelievable. Her calm demeanor. She had that plane on the ground within 20 minutes.
You want that pilot flying your plane.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Dave, and the answer to your question about whether or not they would freeze to death or even, you know, possibly suffocate because of the air, the pilot pulls that plane out of that altitude very quickly. I mean, they dropped probably thousands of miles.
Well, to go from 30,000 feet. 30,000 feet to 10,000 feet still takes 15 or 20 minutes, right?
They went in 5 minutes.
No. It happened very quickly.
Normally.
Yeah,
normally
it would. Right,
yeah.
Right.
But a 5 minute drop.
Oh, yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah, you're going to feel it go because you're basically going nose down, straight down. But it's amazing to me what you brought up, Dave, because is that fast enough? You know, it feels like it'd be instantaneous.
It does.
I don't know.
And I can't imagine what everybody on that plane was thinking.
Did you hear, too, though, that passengers were telling CNN that once the pilot landed, the pilot herself and the co-pilot went through and made sure every passenger was okay.
Spoke personally to every passenger.
How about that? Yeah.
Well, Steve, it's what you were saying earlier. Here's your new Sully movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
This is what makes a great one. And, you know, the flight controller sounded more nervous than she
did. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, imagine if you're on the ground and you hear, because, you know, the stuff we don't hear that happens every day. If you're on the ground and you got to bring in a crippled airplane, you got to tell them where to go and when to go there.
This is what you've trained your whole career to do.
Yeah.
Right.
So Tammy Jo Schultz, the hero pilot, and again, it's incredible grief for everybody that knows this woman from New Mexico. I'm sorry, I forgot her name. That you mentioned to me a moment ago.
Jennifer Reardon,
and of course her two kids and her husband. Some heartbreaking pictures all over social media this morning of the family.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Show number 1127. If you follow me on Twitter at Cochran Show, you're more likely to win lottery tickets, have a happy, healthy marriage or relationship, and get a raise at work. It's been verified. Your life will have a little blue check next to it.
Yes.
Facebook.com/Steve Cochran Show, 312-981-7200. Texters and phone callers, a couple of amazing women that you need to meet will be in studio with us after 9 o'clock. Rocon later as well. We'll talk to Ro about his talk with James Comey yesterday. Larry's in Plainfield. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Great.
And where are you headed this morning?
I'm just going out to play a little pool at the local place here.
Nice. Little pool. Good for you. Well, I got four tickets for you for the White Sox.
Oh, fantastic. Great.
Good game. Seattle and the White Sox next Wednesday. Who are you bringing to the game?
Oh, probably a couple of my pool buddies.
Yeah, it depends on how they play today.
Yeah, that's right. I better win. You know what I mean?
Thanks for listening. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, man. And there you go. More White Sox tickets coming up because we got every game. And the next one is when?
Next game is this afternoon, 2 o'clock from Oakland, the finale of the road trip. And the White Sox and A's, Sox try to avoid a sweep. Then they come home and play the World Series champion Houston Astros. How about this? Friday night, James Shields against Justin Verlander.
Yeah, cool.
Pretty good match.
Yeah, you want to be there for that.
Yep.
And you know what? Friday night, 50 degrees.
Yeah.
All right, well,
yeah.
Friday day.
Very
50,
doable.
But yeah.
Almost like summer.
Right? Summer
here.
Is coming.
Yeah. We were just talking off the air more about the Southwest Airlines flight, and Dave brought up something which is amazing to me. As this plane was descending to 10,000 feet and then cruising to eventually land, mm-hmm. It was a very rough landing, as you can imagine. The people on the plane who all thought they were going to die wanted to contact their loved ones. So some people got out their phones and shot video. A lot of people were texting.
Mm-hmm.
Some tried to call. But, Dave, there's a story about one guy who grabbed his credit card, and as the plane was rumbling, he's trying to enter the numbers to get Wi-Fi access.
Yeah, this gentleman, Marty Martinez, he's been interviewed quite a bit since this accident. And he said he bought Wi-Fi so he could reach out to his loved ones. He was struggling to enter his credit card information digit by digit with all this chaos all around him.
Can you imagine?
And I'm just thinking, okay, there should be a point where the Wi-Fi is free.
Well, you brought it up out there. I think this is if the oxygen masks are released, the Wi-Fi is free.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
totally,
because if
absolutely.
The oxygen masks come down, we got a problem.
Right.
TV and movies, too, for that matter.
Yes. Yeah. Everything's free at that point. Mm-hmm. The oxygen masks drop. Let's make that a trigger.
Very true.
Pass the drinks.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, the drink card's probably a problem at that point as well.
Yeah, really.
It is 8:58. We'll come back with CLTV joining us in a second as well.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You should have seen the look on Mrs. Carlson's face when he said, "It's a keeper. Oh, cold enough for you?"
Shut up, fat ass.
I make my living off the evening news.
9:10. Make it 9:11.
Just give me something.
Steve Cochran Show continues. We need a little good news in this world, don't we? Don't
yes,
we?
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Talking about
yes.
The life of Barbara Bush all morning. Amazing woman. We got two more amazing women in studio now. Rock stars, heroes. They both look great. It's great to see both of you. Katie, start with you. Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Katie Bishop.
And Juliana?
I'm Juliana Schaefer.
And you guys are both dealing with something that the rest of us would never want and don't want to deal with, and that's you both were diagnosed with brain tumors.
Correct.
Tell us the story. When?
Juliana, you want to go first?
I was actually diagnosed almost 14 years ago, and I was diagnosed with a grade 2 oligodendroglioma, which is, if you have a brain tumor, kind of the one that you want to have, but still a terminal.
I'm guessing you couldn't pronounce it when you first heard about
totally.
It.
And I still have trouble. So we call it oligos.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
But yeah, I was diagnosed with it almost 14 years ago and went through chemo for 2 years and then just went through another year of chemo this last year. And it's been a life-changing experience, clearly.
Well, understandably, right? And over the course of 14 years,
yeah.
Are there times when you think I'm on the good foot here and then you find out you got to go back?
Absolutely. I was doing great for 10 years and then all of a sudden the tumor started growing a little bit. And so that's why this last year I went through another round of chemo.
And Katie, your world got wrecked, what, about a year ago?
March 28th, 2017.
And at that point, were you engaged? Did I read my notes correctly?
I was engaged, yes. Now married.
And
twice.
What?
Same person.
Same person.
Right. Is Brogan?
Is Brogan is my husband.
Sounds like
yes.
An amazing guy.
He is.
All right, so you get this diagnosis, a different type of tumor?
I have the one that you don't want. I have stage 4.
Is this a glioblastoma?
It's a glioblastoma.
Is this the same thing John McCain is dealing with as well?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's as tough a fight as you get. You look great. Is
Thanks.
Today a good day?
Yeah, most days are pretty good.
Okay, but the fight continues. Are you? I had a friend dealing with cancer, and she always put it this way. She said, "I'm kicking cancer's ass." I feel like both of you are.
There's no other option, really.
That's a great point.
right?
True.
Yeah, yeah. There is no option B. Get up in the morning and do what you need to do.
Absolutely.
The medical support you get in Chicago, I assume, is world class.
Amazing. We've both been treated at Northwestern.
Yeah. I originally was at Evanston back in the day and had a fantastic doctor who then I actually outlived, which I guess was kind of a good thing. And but very sad that he passed away. But we're both at Northwestern and have fantastic neuro-oncologists.
This is the Robert H. Lurie Cancer Center?
Correct.
Yeah, we raised some money for them as well. There's an event coming up this week I want to talk about. But we want to find out about you guys first.
Your attitude's awesome. They're so good. So I'm sure you attribute that to you guys each have support staffs too, probably.
Amazing.
Family. Your hubby you were talking about, yeah.
Yeah. My PR agent in the background, my sister.
Oh, no wonder she's ordering you around.
This is Sister Jenny, who refuses to come on the air. She's just petrified to come on the air.
But she is terrific.
Yes. All right, so talk a little bit about why this event this weekend is such a big deal, because I think sometimes people get caught up in the idea that, how much of a difference can I make?
Absolutely. So this weekend, this Sunday at 9:30 in the morning at Soldier Field, we have the American Brain Tumor Association 5K, and it is an event that's been going on for as long as I have actually been diagnosed with a brain tumor. I was there for the first 5K, and it is a terrific event. We get about 4,000 participants out there. We raise about $800,000.
And you can run or walk.
And you can run or walk, and I definitely walk. Don't know about you, Jenny. But we have my team is Team Hope. That's Hope is my favorite word.
Sure.
And we have 154 team members, and we've raised over $68,000.
Wow. Good for you.
We are just really, really excited about this and hope that other people will come and join us.
I'm looking at the website now. It's abta.org, and you can put in Team Hope and make a contribution if you can't be there. Now, I think, Dave, aren't we getting a weather break on Sunday morning?
I think we are. Yeah, the forecast for the weekend is actually pretty favorable.
You guys probably noticed that it's still winter.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah. Kind of ridiculous, right? By the way, we didn't find out about your family.
I'm sorry?
We didn't find out about your family.
Oh, I have a wonderful husband who I was engaged to when I was diagnosed.
Maybe you shouldn't get engaged.
Wow. I know, right?
Wait a minute.
How about that? You didn't know that part of his story.
It is kind of funny, but he actually said like the sweetest thing in the entire world after I was diagnosed. He said, I wish I hadn't proposed before and that I could propose after.
Wow.
Kind of saying, you know.
Wow.
Right?
What's this guy's name?
His name is Chad. And
Chad, come on.
An amazing, amazing husband and has been wonderful. And I also have a 10-year-old daughter who takes care of me as well.
What's her name?
And her name's Izzy.
And she's at school today, I'm sure.
She's at school, yes. Yeah. Yes. But she's terrific. And I have wonderful family and friends. My parents are both here. And I have had to use my support system, just like Katie, and dig deep and ask for help, which is a hard thing to do. And
well, especially if you know your life's cruising along and you don't need help.
Yeah.
Everything's going fine, and then suddenly you do. So there's interesting perspective you guys can both provide, I think, to people who are dealing with this and maybe struggling, maybe not, but can hear from you guys and where you are in this. So Katie, I assume anger is one of the first emotions, probably, right?
Yeah, and still angry.
Sure, yeah.
It kind of fuels the fight.
So if there's somebody that gets diagnosed or has been diagnosed recently, or if they love somebody who has, what do you say to them? I mean, we know the option isn't there other than not fight. You know, fight. But what else can you say to them?
Take all the information that you can. Somebody needs to be with you at every appointment taking notes, and then the other one needs to be listening to the doctor so that they can remember what happens after the appointment. But it's reaching out to every single person that you know, and honestly, it's asking for help. This is
and accepting it.
You only get one chance.
But you make a great point about the doctor's appointment itself, because with everything that's got to be racing through your head, you need a second there,
it's a
right?
Blur. It's a total blur.
So somebody to take notes, somebody to be there, and maybe you formulate your questions ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what about a few years down the road? What do you say to folks?
What do I say to folks?
Yeah, folks that are dealing with the cancer themselves now.
Yeah, well, and I talk to a lot of people because, of course, everyone knows Juliana Schaefer has a brain tumor, so that's who they come to. In fact, that's how I met Katie, actually.
Yep.
I speak to people all the time, and, you know, my number one thing is really just keeping a positive attitude because I think that's really what's gotten me through things. I had a really bad week last week, I think, probably knowing that the walk was coming up, and it kind of hits home a little bit more. As a reminder, and it's just trying to keep positive and trying to just make sure you're seeing the best people.
Sure. Was it hard to be around folks who are dealing with the same thing, or does it help?
Both.
Right.
Hard because people that don't have a brain tumor, it's a little envy. It's a little jealousy.
Yeah.
That's a human emotion. Feelings to be
right.
feeling towards someone that's trying to help, but it's comforting. Also, I met Juliana with Jenny sitting down at Starbucks outside probably one of our first few weeks after being diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And you just pick their brain, little, no pun intended.
Right. You pick well, you better have a sense of humor, right? Right.
You pick their brain and ask them for every single, you know, what do I do? What don't I do? What should I, where should I go? Who should I talk to? And Juliana's been a wealth of information.
You know, one of the things that I think comes up at a time like this, and you guys could certainly answer this, but I can't. You don't want the disease to become your identity.
No.
So when people meet you and they go, oh, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk to you guys. What do? I mean, to me, it's just talk about your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunately part of every day, but it doesn't have
to. But it's not who you are.
It doesn't have to define you, no.
Right.
It will if you let it.
Brogan is accompanying you everywhere.
Everywhere.
Does he, still run his errands and do the things you want him to do?
Well, I got my driving privileges back, so I'm.
Wow! Look
at
you.
I'm in the driver's seat most of the time, but there's no question I could not do this without Brogan, my sister, my mom, my brother-in-law, everybody's just been rock stars.
You know, it's funny you talk about driving because, when you lose that much control in your life, you want a little control back, right? So how big a deal is it to be able to drive?
It's my favorite activity is driving.
You must have gone through this as well, I would think.
I actually didn't have any. I've been asymptomatic the entire time, so I didn't lose driving privileges or anything, thankfully. Although my husband would think that would be a good thing, actually.
Right.
You lose them in Illinois if you've had a seizure. So you have to go 6 months without driving and no seizures to get your privileges back.
Now, when you say you've been asymptomatic, explain.
So I actually, they found my tumor completely coincidentally. I mean, coincidentally, I didn't have any seizures. I didn't have any kind of symptoms. I had a migraine headache, which had absolutely nothing to do with it.
You'd had migraines before?
Uh-huh. I'd had migraines before, but that's not the place where my tumor is not a place where I would be presenting with headaches and tumor and migraines. And so I had a migraine, went into the ER because I couldn't stop throwing up because I was super sick, and they thought, let's do a CAT scan just in case, and did a CAT scan and found a giant tumor and took it from there. So it was kind of, and since then, I still have not had any symptoms, which has been extremely fortunate.
There's a little bit of that joint emotion because I'm sure you can look at her and go, I like you so much and I'm really happy for you, but I'm really angry that you don't have any symptoms.
Right. No, I'm glad she doesn't have any symptoms. She's been fighting this longer than I have. I'm just in my first year and I don't have any symptoms right now. So,
which is great.
I'm happy and we like normalcy.
We like normalcy and we get...
We like the everyday.
Yeah.
I would imagine, right?
And we get that, and for the most part, things are normal until it's time for, MRIs, and I go in now every 3 months for MRIs, and that's kind of the scary time. As you were saying, you have all of your crew that's with you. We kind of joke that we have, an entourage that comes with me to my appointments. I literally have my husband.
You and Jay-Z.
I have my... Yep. right? Literally. I have my husband and my parents and my grandmother who come all to the appointment. We don't even fit in the room. So.
What advice would you have for newbies, young women or women who are, and men too, who are finding out about their diagnosis for the very first time, once they go through the anger and the disbelief?
Yeah. I would say, first of all, for me, support groups were not the right thing.
Well, that's interesting. Why is that?
I went to support group right away and found that it was extremely depressing, and people were in later stages of the disease, and that's the people who tend to need the support groups more.
Wow.
And I just thought, wow, this is not what I want
to
be around. So I instead actually got hooked up through the American Brain Tumor Association with a pen pal who lived in Minnesota but had the same kind of tumor that I did, that I have, and she was my support, and we got in touch with each other. We visited each other. She unfortunately passed away a few years ago, which was extremely hard. I recommend reaching out to people individually who have, who can understand what you're going through. And I would also say that, you know, again, just getting information, that's the other thing. When I was diagnosed, I went to the American Brain Tumor Association website right away. And that's where I got a ton of information.
Yeah, because nobody's a better advocate for you than you.
Absolutely.
Right. So, absolutely. So educate yourself as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Katie, I love your slogan. I'm not done here.
I'm not done here.
Yeah. I mean, that in itself is powerful.
Yep.
So we want a ton of people to show up on Sunday.
We need money. We need donations.
Yeah, people, bring your money.
We need research. We need all the money we can get to fight this disease.
Team Hope last year, you were saying, broke the record, right? You raised...
Actually, I think that you guys broke the record.
Did you break the record?
They broke our record.
Don't forget about Team KBC.
70 grand.
Yeah.
$95,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
$95,000 in 8 days.
You got to break that this year, too.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. So. But you're okay with breaking each other's records.
We're thrilled. Every time I see somebody else raising more money, I'm just ecstatic.
It's the best kind of competition there is, right?
Oh, yeah. But it's fun.
It's healthy competition.
Healthy competition.
Right.
We're all raising money for the same cause.
Exactly.
And every dollar matters because it's going to research, it's going to staffing, it's going to finding ways to beat this. And you know what? It sounds like a cliche, but the miracle could be right around the corner, or the next little tiny breakthrough that leads to it could be right around the corner.
Yep,
we have amazing doctors and nurses and everybody else in town getting it done. Anybody you want to say hi to? You want to thank any nurses in particular? Nurses never get enough credit in my world.
Well, nurses are absolutely critical. Yeah. I had an amazing nurse at Evanston who I absolutely loved, Annette, and she was incredible, and she was with me for many, many years, and then now my nurse is Laura, who is also terrific, and they're the people who you have more contact with than your
Yeah, because the doctors get the pat on the back all the time. The nurses are the ones doing the heavy
lifting.
The doctors
are great, yeah. I have a nurse, Kelly, in Dr. Dixit's office, and then we call him Dr. Sean, but it's Dr. Sachdev. But they're just, everybody is fantastic. They always have a smile on their face. You know, you're walking into a really scary MRI room to check in every 8 weeks. So they're really, they're compassionate.
Well, I hope the good news continues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
We do too, for sure.
You know, we believe in prayer around here. At least I do. And I just couldn't be pulling for you harder. And I think it's wonderful that you came in to talk about this this walk run.
Thank you. We really appreciate your having us here. And,
absolutely.
And really hope that people come out and help us continue.
Sunday, April 22nd.
Yep. Soldier Field.
What time are we starting?
Yeah. 9:30 is when the run starts and the walk
that's
starts.
Not bad.
Right
9:30 is the middle of the day for us, so that's not bad.
Not for most of us, but it is supposed to be 52 degrees, so it's getting a little bit better. And you can register there. You don't have to pre-register. And it is just a terrific event.
Team Hope and Team?
KBC.
Team KBC. Yeah. Why not donate to both?
Exactly. Yeah.
I hope you break each other's records.
I do.
Right.
Absolutely.
The best kind of competition, as you said. Great to see both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for
Let's
having
do
me.
This again. And let's do this every year.
Okay.
Let's keep raising that kind of money.
We would love that. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless both of you. 9:27. More in a moment on 720 WGN. It is abta.org. And again, it's Team KBC and Team Hope.
Woo woo.
Donate accordingly. A couple of amazing women, huh?
When we cover those races, and especially these runs, that is the best part, seeing the teams and then the colors and the signs. And they go all out. So please support them.
Something else. Katie's sitting here fighting for her life. Juliana going, 14 years, shouldn't I be over this by now? And they're both smiling and spreading the word.
And they were so funny in the green room. Katie, I think it was Katie who said, oh, yeah, I'm so nervous. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, nervous.
I said, you're a rock star.
Nervous. They took over the show.
They took over your chair.
Yeah.
She looked pretty good sitting there, I gotta
say. They looked great. I'm going to leave. Family pack of tickets to see the White Sox versus Seattle went to, I forgot the winner's name. What was the winner's name?
Frank.
I want to make sure I get the proper plug out here.
Was it Frank? He was going to play pool.
Our pool playing buddy, Larry.
Larry.
Larry the pool player.
He's playing with Frank.
He's playing. I guarantee you there's a guy named Frank there. White Sox Seattle next week, and all your White Sox tickets are here, whether you listen for the sound or you hear us on Monday when we'll have more to give away for sure. Back with the headlines right after this.
And the internet's going crazy because Barbie has a last name. The iconic doll has been gracing toy store shelves and toy boxes worldwide since 1959, but a recent tweet involving Barbie's last name shook social media. To celebrate National Siblings Day, the official Barbie Twitter account posted a picture with the caption, "Happy Siblings Day from the Roberts sisters.
Did we know this? Did anybody know that Barbie had a last name?
I did not know this.
No.
Barbie Roberts.
Barbie Roberts is her name. Now, we don't know if that's...
So, if your name's Roberts and you did a 23andMe, you could find out you're related to Barbie?
Possibly.
You know, like your name's Roberts, you do a family tree.
Who's the sister?
So you have the same DNA, apparently, but we don't know if that's Barbie's... Well, I guess it's her maiden name, because...
Right. What's Barbie's sister's name?
Is that Francie or Midge? There was a Midge and a Francie.
There was
Barbie has a
Midge?
Last name. It's
there
Roberts.
There was a Midge.
Midge Roberts.
I had never heard of
it. I'm guessing the little girls now probably aren't into the Midge.
Apparently,
so
though,
much.
Wait, here, we do have an answer. Barbie's on-again, off-again partner, Ken. His last name is Carson.
And why on again, off again? Is it the TMZ photogs that are following around?
You know, didn't you have your Barbie and Ken break up?
I didn't play a lot with Barbie and Ken. However, Amy, my daughter, was very good at insisting that I play Barbie and Ken, and I never did it right.
Yeah, Barbie, my Barbie was dating my Ken, and then she broke up with him for Luke Skywalker.
I'm just telling you, if you're playing Barbies with Amy Cochran, listen to her, right? Otherwise, there's going to be trouble. So
I don't foresee.
Were you bossy when you played with Barbies?
I just played Barbies with myself. I didn't have any brothers and sisters, so
yeah. I guess remember
Barbie
when
and Ken.
Midge had that fling with Ken, right? Wasn't that one of the times they broke
know
up?
Midges.
Well, my sister had that. A Midge.
Barbie says the same thing now. I feel like I don't even know who Midge is.
And those are the headlines.
Wait a minute, Barbie dropped Ken for Luke Skywalker?
That was in my world.
That's where it got weird.
That was in my world.
It really did.
Right, her middle name is Millicent, too.
Oh, very.
Want to keep it going.
Nice, thanks.
Rokan, 3-7 with Anna DeBlantis. And all his little friends, half of which he stole from the show. Good morning, Ron.
Three quarters, actually. Maybe closer to 80%. I'm not sure.
So you talked to Comey yesterday, which I believe fully implicates you in the Russian scandal. You're part of the cover-up.
Yeah, the president did tweet about it this morning. And apparently, I'm packing my bags, and I'm moving to Bolivia.
Well, that seems like the right place to escape to. It's actually warmer than it is here.
Yeah. Bolivia is where Butch and Sundance went, so I figured it worked out so well for them at the end, right? I mean, I might as well try it.
Cliff diving's right for you. Yeah. What did he say? I've not heard the interview yet. So what did he say? What did you feel like he got?
Well, there's a little bit of a change in the answer about why he chose to announce the Hillary thing than at the time that he did, with 11 days left, and not mention the Trump investigation. And, you know, he basically, I made the argument with him that his position is that he did it because he feared that if the FBI did not come out and acknowledge that there was an investigation going on, they'd reopen the investigation because they'd seen the wiener, pardon the expression, they'd seen the...
Yeah, finish that sentence.
Yes.
They'd seen the wiener.
Well, it was pretty close. They'd seen Anthony Weiner's computer, which had Huma Abedin's emails on them, and they were like, uh-oh, this is not, you know, proper use of internet security protocol for secret or top secret information, or, you know, classified information in some way, shape, or form. And so they were reopening the investigation because they need to look at that computer and figure out if there was anything on it that was of import. But they did not acknowledge that there were people the Trump campaign was under investigation. So I said, well, because he thought that if he didn't mention Hillary, and then she were elected, as it appeared that she was going to be, that her presidency would be seen as illegitimate. So I said to him, well, isn't that what's happening now? That Donald Trump's situation, much of it is at his own doing, but is now seen as illegitimate because the FBI was investigating. He goes, well, that's unfair. I thought this was interesting. He said, that is unfair because he did not... He himself was not under investigation. There were four people in the campaign. You had Manafort, you had Gates, you had Michael Flynn, and Papadopoulos, all under investigation, but not Trump. So you can't really make an equation there.
But you can,
Because if he's going to call politics on this stuff, and by the way, I'm a fan of Comey, but if he's going to bring up politics and opinions and things, he's certainly politically savvy enough to understand that it could go down the way it's gone down as well. Yeah, even well, if he did think Hillary was going to win.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And that was a bit of a problem, as it turns out, which is all the criticism he's getting. I mean, obviously, you know, the president and the people who are supportive of him for power reasons, not just the American public who's supportive of him. I'm talking about the people who, you know, have a vested interest in it. Say, like a Sean Hannity, for example. Those people, you know, they're going to take any little thing here and try to magnify
it.
You know, and his attorneys are going to try to magnify it. And the people who are trying to make sure that this investigation is seen as illegitimate, the Mueller investigation is seen as illegitimate, any kind of inconsistency with James Comey. You know, you see in James Comey a conflicted guy. You see a guy who was trying, you get the sense, I get the sense at least, that he was trying to do the right thing, that he was trying to navigate these brand new waters that we are in.
That's what it feels like. He feels like he stepped in it, but he hasn't admitted that he stepped in it.
Right. Well, he kind of did yesterday in the interview, which is available at WGNradio.com.
Mm-hmm.
He does kind of acknowledge that this is all brand new territory. He's optimistic about the future. I don't know why, but he is, and he has you get a sense from him that, you know, he's really a poop sandwich has been handed to him.
I do believe there was no win. He was going to get crap from one side or the other. And I also believe that Donald Trump should be getting him an Amazon gift card, amongst other things, for all that he has done to set up Trump. And I thought he owned most of it. But there's some things he says, Roe, that are just, they add to the goofy. I thought his impeachment answer with Stephanopoulos was weird. He's entitled to the opinion, but I thought it was weird. And I've not read the book yet. And, you know, the one fair thing I thought he said, he probably said this to you yesterday, read the book. He said,
yeah,
judge all you want, but read the book.
Right. Savannah Please. Guthrie hammered him this morning. I don't know if you saw this already, Ro. She said he had to know that this would make an impact on the election. He said, well, not like this. And she said, come on. You had to know the impact that this would make. And he said did he say this to you? He was looking for either an action door or a no action door or a kind of a door in the middle. You know, try to ride that middle rail, if you will, and couldn't find it.
Yeah, he did not say that to us, but I think that that's as accurate as he can be, right? I mean, he was caught in this. He was not ready for what he was looking at here. And, you know, at no time in American history have you had both major candidates for president under some form of federal investigation, the campaigns themselves. And it is a whole, you know, brave new world. They clearly knew. Here's the piece, and this is really important, and this isn't really so much about Comey as it is just about where we sit, is that they saw that we were being penetrated by the Russians, and they saw that that the Russians were involved in this, and they were trying to figure something out. Now, what's interesting about commensurate with this, you had the president getting up and blundering his way into the whole Russia statement that he made in August of 2016. Hey, Russia, if you're listening.
Right.
Right. And by saying that, that redirected all of the FBI's focus on something bigger than they thought they had. Because they were looking at Manafort. They've been looking at Manafort for years for his dealings in Ukraine. They'd been looking at this Papadopoulos dude. They'd been looking at Gates. They'd been looking at Flynn. Because Flynn was on the Russian payroll at one point. Right? So they're trying to figure out, how are these guys, why are these guys so prominent in the campaign? You know, what are they doing? Who's this Papadopoulos guy? Why is he running around? And then all of a sudden, Trump says, hey, Russia. And they're like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Does this go all the way to the top? And then all of a sudden they're scrambling. And this is, and you know, and the, you know, the president has a tendency to, you know, blunder his way into things. It's unclear. I don't know if you've noticed that. I don't know if it's
Once
clear that he knows that was the, you know, the moment, but it should have been the moment. I'll never forget. It was, we were in Philadelphia getting ready for the Democratic convention. This was after the Republican convention. He'd never been the nominee. And he does this as a, you know, he's doing a press conference, as they often do during the opposing convention to try to get some press coverage. And when he said that, I mean, I'm doing Pilates, you know, in my room, in my hotel room.
Just like you're doing now during this conversation.
Exactly. I'm watching TV, you know, standing there in my bathrobe and brushing my teeth. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did he just say that? Yeah. And I ran. We all met at the where they were having the convention at the stadium in Philadelphia. And, you know, with our folks and Anna and me and our producers and then the people from ABC News that were putting this together. And everything was like, oh, but did you got what? You know, I mean, he really did. He stole the headline, which is what he was trying to do. But in the meantime, he got the FBI to go, oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
And that's as good a summation as anything of why we're in this mess. Because when you were a little kid at some point, or as a teenager at some point, your mom looked at you and said, this is nobody's fault but your own. Right. You've made this mess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what Trump has done. All right, you're back at 3 today. Who's your big guest today?
We are actually, we've got White Sox baseball at 3 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. And you'll follow that with Cobb. Ty Cobb's on with Roe today. He's unbelievable. Good
he
get.
Is. He, oh, he is. He's a particularly good get since he's been dead for 50 years. But exactly. I got to tell you something. Or 60 years. He's. But you know what? He looks great.
Yes, he does. Hasn't gained an ounce. Matter of fact, he looks thinner. That's Roe. Roe and Anna start at 3 on Unsealed TV.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Been trying to get this on all morning. It's 22 seconds of glorious mocking of Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity at Fox, who had nothing to do with anybody that's ever been associated with him, except he did. Here's Sean Hannity talking about Michael Cohen over the course of the past, oh, I don't know, a few months or years.
And this is a Fox News alert. President Trump's longtime personal attorney, Michael Cohen, is my attorney, and I defended him right here on this program. Can anybody say conflict of interest? A huge conflict of interest Fox News has largely ignored. To put it another way, Sean Hannity should be fired, like yesterday. All right, also tonight, Hillary Clinton killed Kennedy.
All of those.
What?
All of those Sean Hannity's own words. Who put that mashup together, Super Joe? It's a late show.
Yeah, that was a late show. Colbert.
Colbert on a late show, using all of Hannity's own words. There may have been some editing.
I don't think there was any editing.
I'd be shocked. Last one.
The part about killing Kennedy? No. Not
well,
so
a lot
much.
Of people think that.
What are you doing today?
We're going to talk about the 24th annual World's Fair. There's a memorabilia show, and Rick Rann is coming on. He always brings such unique items from history.
What are you trying to buy now?
Oh, he just gives us stuff.
Yeah, I know.
It's the weirdest thing.
But what, are you trying to buy?
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. He's more into toys. If there were
make
toys.
Me call your wife.
They didn't have toys back then.
Oh, really?
No.
I didn't know that.
Toys were invented after it.
That seems odd.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.